السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Don't get scared, right, Pete? بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, for those of us who are part of the respective families, we know that both the groom and the bride are a widower and a widow. And I want to use this opportunity to reflect on the beauty of the teachings of Islam and the balance of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I also want to use this as an opportunity for us to reflect on the nature of life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first marriage was to Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha. And she was a widow twice. She lost two husbands. She was married two times prior to her blessed marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the union was such that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was so impressed by the support, the love, the care, the compassion that Khadija radiallahu anha showed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the first person to accept Islam, even before Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. And this was so impressive that on one occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah has asked me to tell you to convey his and my salam to Khadija and to inform her of a house in Jannah in which there will be no tiredness. And the scholars write, it was in reference to the toil that she had to undergo, being a very affluent woman, a very prominent woman in society, but she made great sacrifice in showing support to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The details are many, the story is long. For 3 years, she showed solidarity with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the valley of Abu Talib, where, forget the hunger of the Sahaba themselves. One Sahabi mentions that we were so starved for food that we used to chew on leaves just to pacify the pangs of hunger. But that's what the adults went through. The youngest child of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatima radiallahu anha, she would scream out of hunger to the point that her voice and her cry would echo in those valleys. Imagine what went through the heart of Khadija radiallahu anha. But she stood by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The year she passed away is known as Aamul Huzn, the year of grief, because in 1 year, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost both Khadija radiallahu anha and Abu Talib. After her demise, he would constantly remember her with a deep degree of fondness. Aisha radiallahu anha says that he would constantly give gifts to the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha. Whenever anything would come into his possession, he would take out a share for them. And she says, I was never jealous over any other wife like I was jealous over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's remembrance of Khadija radiallahu anha. And she says, one day I made a remark that, Ya Rasulullah, she was an old lady, Allah has blessed you with a number of wives. He said, my Khadija was my Khadija. You don't know what was the caliber of my Khadija. But Islam is a practical way of life. After the demise of Khadija radiallahu anha, as deep as the sorrow of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, when one of his friends suggested to him that it's time for you to move on now, and there's a lady by the name of Sauda radiallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved on and he got married again, establishing for us a great sunnah and creating within this ummah a balance, a sense of practicality. You see, when Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam was created, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has written, then Allah entered Adam alayhi salatu wasalam into Jannah. But even after entering Adam alayhi salatu wasalam into Jannah, which is a perfect place, he still felt a void. He still felt an emptiness. And that was only filled when our mother Hawa radiallahu anha was created and the two of them were joined in nikah and in marriage. So Allah has designed us such that we require a companion in life. We require a partner. It's a kind of void that your parents can't fill. It's a kind of void that your children can't fill. It's a kind of void that your friends can't fill. It's a kind of void that money and hobbies and professions can't fill. It's there. Allah has created us such. And that's why even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after such a strong message to such a superb woman, such a strong marriage to such a superb woman like Khadija radiallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that life is such, you have to move on. And there's nothing wrong in moving on. If you look at all the marriages of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the exception of Aisha radiallahu anha, all of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat were either widows or they were divorces. You see, in Islam, there's no such thing as living in the past. You have to live in the present. As great as the past was, as great as a previous marriage may have been or may not have been, you live in the present and you move forward. That is what Allah wants from us. We sometimes, maybe it's a cultural thing, especially in women, you sometimes hear, but no, I will never find a husband like my first husband or my late husband. I will not be able to find anyone who would match. That is not only in the knowledge of Allah. It doesn't have to be the same. It can be different. And it will be unique in its own way. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, where will I ever find a Khadija? A woman that Allah sent his greetings from the heavens via Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So in these few moments, I want to use the occasion to highlight and to reflect and to emphasize that Islam is simple. And Islam is very pragmatic. And Islam is very balanced. There's two examples I want to give also from amongst the Sahaba. And there's multitudes of examples. As great as marriages were, when either due to death or due to divorce, the marriage was no longer there, the Sahaba moved on, both the men and both the women. And this is something that society needs to encourage. This is something that society needs to learn. There's the example of the Sahabiya, her name was Atika. She was a very beautiful woman, externally and internally. She was beautiful in terms of her looks, and she was superb in terms of her conduct. And she was married to the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the two of them, you know, in our terminology, we would call them lovebirds. Their romance had become legendary amongst the people of Medina Munawwara. Everyone would talk about the two in terms of how in love they were. And then her husband got martyred. In sorrow, she took a vow, I'll never get married again. Because this kind of a husband, I'll never find again. And then there comes a proposal from who? Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. And initially she's now hesitant because she took a vow. And Umar radiallahu anhu insists and he persists and he tells her, listen, your vow was taken in a state of emotion. Now it's important, you know. Just 2 weeks ago, when brother phoned me one day, I was driving somewhere. He said, you know, Maulana, my wife passed away last year, but I promised her I'll never get married again. Now, you know, I got lots of money, he's telling me. And I'm sitting in a posh flat in Senton. And my daughter-in-law cooks for me every day. They just hear down the road. And they told me also, stay with us. But you know, now I'm old, I can't take too much noise with the grandchildren and all that. So I prefer my privacy. But Maulana, man, I made the promise. Will she catch me on the day of Qiyamah? So I said, you know what you do? You get married, inshallah. I'll perform your nikah. And if she comes on the day of Qiyamah, send her to me. Tell her that, Maulana, he told me I must get married. You see, these kind of promises are made in a state of emotion. So she, Atika, also made this promise. Umar radiallahu anhu said, okay, because you took a vow, so you'll pay the kafara for breaking the vow. But life has got to move on. As much as the two of you were like, you know, the lovebirds in the city of Madinatul Munawwaram. So she marries Umar radiallahu anhu, and he also gets martyred. And again she gets married, this time to Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, another great sahabi, and he also gets martyred. So now a fourth proposal comes to Ali radiallahu anhu, and she's hesitant. She says, whoever I get married, he gets martyred. So just hold on, let's see how things will go. In the process, without marrying her, Ali radiallahu anhu gets martyred. And she marries his son. Can you ever think of this? The father proposed somewhere, the proposal never worked out. Years later, the son proposes and she accepts. Imagine what society today will say. Our own cultural restrictions, which have no basis in Islam. Ali radiallahu anhu proposed, nothing happened. She was hesitant at that time. Later on, Hassan radiallahu anhu, I think it was, proposed. And she accepted the marriage, she accepted the proposal, and he got married, and he also later on passed away. And there's multitudes of examples. Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha, she was first married to Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Then he got martyred. Then she got married to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then we know he passed away. And then she got married to Ali radiallahu anhu, who was her first husband's brother. Another kind of notion that, you know, was broken by the practice of Sahaba. There's absolutely nothing wrong if someone has passed away, if immediately or at a later stage, that person's brother gets married to the deceased person's wife, to the widow. Also, there's no minimum time. Sometimes people, you know, they raise their eyebrows. Yo, that was quick, yo. Hey, the man's wife just passed away and he's already moving on, or she just came out of her iddah. I don't have the time. I don't want to prolong the thing. But so many sahabiyat who already got a kind of, because you can't give a direct proposal when somebody is still in iddah. But the hint was already there. And I'm coming back to the same point that I'm emphasizing. Islam is practical. Islam is balanced. The greatest of marriages, when they terminate by death or by for other any other reason, you've got to move on. There's a void there that can only be filled by a spouse. I'm saying it again. It cannot be filled by children, by grandchildren, by anyone else. Of course, at the end of the day, everyone's got their own temperament. Some people don't want to move on, and that's best for them. We shouldn't impose, but we should encourage. So that if there's some natural shyness, sometimes a man feels, what would my children say? What will my grandchildren say? What will my previous in-laws say? You know, if I have to move on. But when that encouragement comes from them, then it makes things much easier. After that, if the person feels, no, I don't want to, then it's that person's discretion. It's not something which is compulsory. But I want to just use the occasion to highlight that we have to see the practicalities here. We have to understand, different people have different temperaments. Some people, they need to move on quicker because that assists the healing process. The longer they're going to stay without the spouse, the more difficult it's going to become. Be it a man or be it a woman. Some people, they need some time. You know, after they've lost the spouse, they need to find their feet, they need to recalibrate, they need to find balance, then they move on. So everyone has their own, you know, circumstances, their own situations. We must just understand. Another thing, as I move towards the conclusion, sometimes women, they worry a lot. They say, yeah, but now what, who will I be in Jannah? You know, I was married to my first husband for 30 years. We had children, we had grandchildren. Now he passed on. I want to get married, but I'm worried. You know, I want to be with him in Jannah. Now, I mean, there's much senior ulama here. They'll tell you about all the academic answers. But the simple reality is this. Whoever Allah chooses you for in Jannah, you'll have no regrets. So as the first husband or the third husband or the 10th husband, whoever Allah decrees to be your partner in Jannah, you'll have no memories of what happened back in the world, what promises you made to each other, or which way your heart inclined or didn't incline. In Jannah, whatever you get will be as per the wisdom of Allah, and you will be totally satisfied in Jannah, because that's the nature of Jannah. So marriage is such. You see, today we live in times of a lot of fitna and corruption. But one alim so beautifully mentions, the best way to treat fitna is by re-emphasizing the sunnah and by re-emphasizing the practices of Islam. So at times of immorality, promiscuity, and everything else that we know which has become prevalent in society, we need to re-emphasize the sunnah of marriage. For those who are young, no unnecessary delay in marriage. And even for those who are old, who are seeking a spouse, based on what I've just explained in these few minutes, as a society, we must see the beauty in the teachings of our deen, the pragmatism in the teachings of our deen, the practicality. And we must shed ourselves, and we must unshackle of ourselves of these unnecessary customary inhibitions and restrictions, where people feel a pressure because of what society may say or what the community may think. In the end, nikah is half of your iman spiritually. And from a practical perspective, it gives you stability. It gives you a sense of companionship. You need that life partner. Sometimes people make some sarcastic remarks. It's not only about the physical relationship. It's about a holistic sense of well-being that you can only find in a better half, in an Eve, not in a Steve. That is the design and the system of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I'll conclude with this thought. You know, marriages are so important in deen for a reason. The strength of families is dependent on the strength of the marriages. And the strength of a community is dependent on the strength of the family. And the strength of the ummah is dependent on the strength of communities. The bedrock, the cornerstone of a strong ummah is in marriage. You see, unity doesn't happen on the top. It starts from the bottom. If a marriage is solid, it means two families have come together and they're solid. And if marriages are solid, it means the community is solid. Then you have a strong, united ummah. But if marriages are compromised, or the flavor of the day where people just live as partners as we see in the Western world, but they're not committed in the name of Allah. That's what nikah is all about. You commit yourself in the name of Allah. It becomes another commitment altogether. If you're not committed in the name of Allah, then your marriage is not solid. And then those families are not united, and communities are not united, then the ummah will never be united. But if we want a strong ummah, it starts with strong marriages. And that's a message for all of us. Even if you're married, happily married, inshallah, even if you have no intention of taking a number two, I was talking of marriage after demise. You know, that's another topic for another day. Whatever the case may be, put effort into your marriage. It's the greatest source of happiness after your relationship with Allah. If you want to be happy, you're going to find happiness in your relationships. Firstly, in your relationship with Allah, and secondly, in your relationship with your spouse. And thereafter that, the people who are closest to you and then closest to you. So everything else, you know, is demanding of our time, demanding of our attention, demanding of our energy. But you've got to make the time to put an effort into your marriage for your own happiness, for the strength of the families, and for the unity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq, inshallah. We should all use these opportunities to be inspired to make more effort in our marriages, inshallah. May Allah grant us the tawfiq. We'll ask the groom to come forward, and the wakil, the representative of the bride, and the witnesses to come forward, inshallah, so we can perform the nikah. Hafiz Usman Musa Rawat, you are the wakil and the representative of the bride, Rukaya Muhammad Rawat. Has she given permission to you to hand her over in nikah to Muhammad Ishaq? And Maulana Musa Muhammad Rawat, Maulana Yusuf Muhammad Rawat, were you two witnesses to the bride giving her consent to the wakil to hand her over into nikah, with the mahar being a 1 ounce Kruger coin? We have a jeweler here, he wants to check the authenticity. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu arsalahu bil haqqi bashiran wa nadhira bayna yaday sa'ah man yuti' Allah wa rasulahu faqad rashad wa man ya'sihima fa innahu la yadurru illa nafsahu wa la yadurru Allah shay'an. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقال أيضا فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Brother Muhammad Ishaq, the bride Rukaya Muhammad Rawat has handed herself over to you in nikah via her wakil and representative Uthman Musa Rawat, with the mahar being 1 ounce Kruger coin. Have you accepted her in your nikah? So I have accepted Rukaya in my nikah. A little bit louder. Accepted Rukaya in my nikah. Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha wa zawajtuha. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alayk wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. I'm just going to ask you to sign. Most of the others have signed already to save time, and then after that we'll make the dua, inshallah.
You know, I'm a bit particular about getting these signatures in order. I'll tell you why. Ma, Big G will tell you how many times 20 years down the line you get a call. Mana, we can't find our Nikah certificate. Can you give us a copy? Then you go in the copy and you see the signatures were not done properly. And you got all sorts of problems with Home Affairs. Or sometimes what happens, they didn't press hard enough. So the triplicate and the fourth copy. So that's why now we encourage that let them write out each one properly and as many as the participants can sign before. It's an administrative thing. The Nikah is done with the ijab and qabul, with the offer and acceptance. But you don't want problems later on. Mana will tell you not too long ago we had a lady call from Peter Maritzburg. Estate issue. They couldn't find the Nikah certificate. Because what happens, everybody gets so caught up in congratulating the groom and moving on for the chow, you sometimes forget to take it also, or to make sure it's filled in properly, and later off you have some administrative problems. Brothers will make a short dua, then after that we can congratulate inshallah. But keeping in mind the sanctity of the masjid, and this is a few minutes left for Maghrib inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wal Aqibatu Lil Muttaqeen, Was Salatu Was Salamu Ala Ashrafil Anbiya'i Wal Mursaleen, Nabiyyina Muhammadi Wa Ala Alihi Wa Ashabihi Ajma'in. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husn ibadatik. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمهات المؤمنين O most merciful Allah, most kind Allah, most compassionate Allah, O Allah, put barakah and blessings in this union, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let it be a marriage that will be pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let it be a marriage that will bring great happiness and bliss in this world as well as in the after, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us all in our marriages, Ya Allah. Grant us happiness, contentment and satisfaction in our marriages, Ya Allah. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Barakallahu lak wa barak alayk wa jamaluk. Tala kif you were.
No.
Mubarak to the family.
Jazakallah to you and Shahida for everything.